Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Good to have you with us here on the program. This is Close Up Radio Live. I'm your host, Jim Masters. Thanks so much for joining us. We're very excited to have a very special guest joining us from Eugene, Oregon, and that is Terry Mody. She's of TK Mody Consulting. You know, when you're walking down the street and see a homeless person injured or in trouble or unconscious, what do? You walk by? Do you stop to assist? Terry Mody of TK Mody Consulting implores you to take action. If you can't stop to assist, call 911 or stop someone to assist or engage. That's what Terry says, and it's important to do that. Who are these homeless people, these underserved people? The United States Department of Housing and Urban Development acknowledges four categories of people who qualify as legally homeless: those who are currently homeless, those who will become homeless in the imminent future, certain youths and families with children who suffer from home instability caused by a hardship, and those who suffer from home instability caused by domestic violence. Beginning her career as a respiratory therapist in 1970, Terry worked as a direct caregiver for 17 years. In 1987, she transitioned to IT, working on the first computer systems designed to gather demographic, financial, and health data that support patient care. As a certified PMP professional project manager, Terry moved on to work with various healthcare delivery systems and Fortune 500 companies. Terry founded TK Mody Consulting Services in 2008. In 2019, she focused her professional background to help nonprofits serve the underserved. And in this capacity, which was advisory, she has been working with Whitebird Clinic in Eugene, Oregon, whose mission is to provide compassionate, humanistic healthcare and supportive services. As for the future, she says she's questionable and concerned about the future. Homeless has become normalized in America and invisible. Terry Mody of TK Mody Consulting joins us here again live and direct from Eugene, Oregon, here on Close Up Radio Live. Terry, welcome to the program. It's a real pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you, Jim. Glad to be here.
Amazing work that you do, and you've got this extraordinary background in IT and healthcare. Tell us about that incredible background and how that really enhances the work that you do.
In 1970, I started to work at a hospital as a respiratory tech, and through 1970 to 1986, worked my way up, became certified, and was director of respiratory care and cardiopulmonary services. And then after that, the next 37 years, I was involved with management consulting, healthcare-based, with Ernst & Young, IBM, Tenet Healthcare, and a number of other, like Catholic Healthcare West or Common Spirit. So I've been fortunate and blessed that I can see and understand the healthcare total picture from the beginning when somebody walks in the door to when the bill goes out the door and the money comes back, and that patient experience. And then now it just led me in my retirement to become involved with nonprofit facilities such as Whitebird Clinic in Eugene that provide community medical services for those who are underserved, who have no place to go, no money. They just need that extra bit of help to stay off the streets or find a place to get supplies to live.
It's so very important, vitally important. And, you know, coming from the corporate world, you became involved in nonprofits. And is this why you founded TK Modi Consulting to work with the nonprofits? And what was that transition like for you?
Interesting question. Twofold. I started it because of my background, having worked with Ernst & Young and IBM and other consulting, that I felt on an independent level I could deliver a customized project management product working directly with the hospitals and administration and IT and the various departments on a clinical basis as well as technical to help with the implementation of what is known as the electronic health record. So I started it to do my own thing, and I've worked with some wonderful people, people that also have much to provide to the nonprofit industry serving the underserved.
And you know, that's what it is. The underserved has become, in a way, like I mentioned, invisible. I do some charity work with a fabulous organization that's based out of New Haven, Connecticut, called Columbus House, and they find housing for those who are underserved, who are going through economic strife and homelessness. And I've done a lot of emceeing and other fundraising and other things for them, for that cause. And so I've learned so much as I've been involved with them in a volunteer way about the problem. But you can drive through any American city, large and small, and you can see the problem right there before your eyes. I think people coming from other parts of the globe who come to the land of opportunity and golden paved streets probably are shocked that two blocks from the White House, there's tent communities, there's homeless, and in Los Angeles and Kensington Avenue in Philadelphia and all of these places, it's just exploded, and people walk by or they videotape it and then they put it on the internet. It's just become, you know, not like a freak show, but almost kind of like entertainment in a way, which I think is absolutely unreal. Have you noticed that?
Yes, I have. Over the years that I've been alive as a human being and working in healthcare, I had just recently finished a vacation in Amsterdam, France, Germany, and Switzerland. And I was interested in seeing the comparison between what we experience in the reality in America and what I see in other countries. You don't see that in other countries. You don't see tents lined up on the street, on the sidewalk, in the ditches, along the railroad tracks. What I visibly saw was these people had places to go, that there was the style of government and due to the different taxes that support it, they're able to maintain viable services for people, helping them to stay off the streets.
Mm. Yeah, and that's so absolutely extraordinarily important. How does your work with White Bird Clinic in Eugene directly impact the homeless and the mentally ill?
My role, first off, White Bird Clinic has been around for 50-plus years. They're a vital nonprofit agency to the Eugene-Springfield area, as well as many others. And since I was retiring, I was keeping my eyes open to see what can I do. I want to be of value. I want to utilize my background. I want to help in some way. And I ran across someone that I could speak to who introduced me to the folks at White Bird. And I was brought on for assisting with project management and implementation of the electronic health record. And they call that EHR. It also is, yes, associated with clinical services such as medical, behavioral health, dental, CAHOOTS, which is a service that if someone needs assistance, they'll call the police. The call will be triaged, and either CAHOOTS goes out as appropriate or the police. When CAHOOTS goes out, it's for someone who is having a difficult time on the street, that is lying on the street, that is in trouble, needs some help, and Kahoot sends out a van with some professionals on board to help out. So what I do from an IT standpoint, working with the IT group and with the leaders and leadership, provides some knowledge and background to help deliver those services, to help track those services in that patient, to know what's going on with that patient, to provide data to the state, county, and federal government as needed for grant money, and to follow and manage quality control to make sure that they're getting the best services possible. So that's what drew me to it, because it covered a broad base of what I'd had experience with, and it's my own community.
Yeah, it's really amazing, the impact. And, you know, you speak to witnessing a change over the last 50 years. Maybe you can share with us some of the things you've witnessed.
Before living and moving to Eugene, Oregon, I lived in Los Angeles, California for about 30 years. And I have seen, even 7-8 years ago, there was a tremendous amount of people that were homeless on the streets. And it was, as I mentioned before, and you mentioned also, it becomes normalized, and that's unfortunate. And an example would be, I was in a strip mall going into a shop there, and there was a man on the ground, didn't know if he was dead or alive. I checked on him, but many people just walked by, didn't want to be involved, were afraid or nervous or thought that they just couldn't be of any assistance. You can be of assistance, because you can call 911. There's always that option. And to just be there from a human standpoint, the compassion of caring for another human being that is in distress and may be dying. And eventually, you know, the services were provided to this individual, and I'm glad to say they did survive it, but it's not unusual to walk down a street in America in very large cities and small cities. Eugene is not that big, to see this kind of event occur on a daily, if not hourly, basis, and especially with those who are the seniors in this world. Since COVID, there's a higher percentage of seniors that are now underserved and on the streets.
Do you see any solutions to homelessness on the horizon? Obviously, the cost of living is extraordinary. Even folks that are in the middle class are having an extraordinarily difficult time making ends meet, and income is not rising, though prices for everything are through the roof, including housing, and there's a housing shortage, and people are priced out of the rent market, the buying the home market, the car market, almost the food market. It's extraordinary. So if folks are on the fringe economically as well, or they do need some help because of maybe an illness, a loss, depression, various things that happen in one's life, it can really put things over the edge. With the situation that we've got going on, where, you know, bubble gum that used to be 1 cent is probably, you got to mortgage your house to get it now. How can we work on this to make it, because there's a shortage of homes and rentals, things of that nature. What are some things we can do?
From a personal standpoint, number one, be aware. Get involved. Don't be afraid of homeless people. There are many community organizations that will reach out and help. They just have to be connected. It's my opinion that getting involved early in one's childhood, where there might be some abuse in the home or issues or alcoholism that could cause the children issues, that there's a program available through the school, through the city, that funds are available for that we start at the beginning. We don't jump in the middle and say, well, let's put them in a shelter home. Well, how'd they get there? What's their background? Are they a vet? Are they someone else? Are they alcoholic addict? Are they mentally ill, bipolar? Let's start at the beginning to help identify and help people deal with life. Myself, I've been in recovery for 43 years, so I've seen a lot of this firsthand, up close and personal. And I think that background also helps me reach out and understand a little bit better how to have a conversation, how to be present for that homeless person. So I think starting in the beginning, and then government programs certainly can be very, very helpful. I know back in President Reagan's era, they had stopped a lot of dollars. They closed many what were called psychiatric facilities, psychiatric hospitals, and many of those people were just dumped into society, just dumped wherever they landed on the road or a relative's couch. And that we've been trying to catch up with, you know, from a public health service standpoint for a long time, and we're still not there. Also, calling up those people in other countries that have dealt with homelessness, how do they do it? Why is it that they don't have all those people on the streets? Where are they placing them? How are they helping them? Have an active dialogue with these countries that are successful. American exceptionalism is not always what it seems to be. We are not exceptional in how we deal with the homeless and the underserved.
It's really something. And it's, again, as I mentioned, having opportunities to share my time with folks who are on the front lines, you know, doing the work as you are, it's really incredible. And I tip my hat to folks who have immersed themselves in something that isn't glamorous, isn't going to pay a lot of personal dividends. There's another richness to doing the work that you can't even script, you can't even put into monetary terms. And you're a compassionate advocate for the homeless and the mentally ill, and in recovery yourself too, right? You've been supporting
That's
people
correct.
In recovery for over 40 years, so you know the stories. And after you completed that 17 years retiring as a respiratory therapist, you did, as I mentioned, transition into healthcare IT, using the experience to really help the nonprofits. But this is something that you know yourself, and you walk the walk, talk the talk, and can relate to those who are experiencing all of this, right?
Yes, yes. I've been very blessed with my life and the opportunities that have been presented before me, and that I was able to get sober and clean and live a life, a quality of life where I can provide service back to communities, back to my fellow man, fellow woman. the community basis involvement is critical. Eugene, as I mentioned, is quite involved, and the Oregon governor is quite involved. But yeah, I think my personal experience and my professional experience well suits me to moving into this type of volunteer work, conversations, education. I'm going to start working with a local Episcopalian church in the next couple weeks regarding assistance they need with some of their technology. And it's a volunteer work. It's free. It's what I do. I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to get involved with the people that they have on the church site that has a couple huts that supplies a home for two different women who are otherwise homeless.
Really incredible that you're doing that. And again, I love when people have experienced things in life and then they choose to not go in a direction away from it. They go towards it. And you grab the bucket, you put the fire out, as opposed to running away with the bucket. What could people listening today, even themselves, do to help impact America's future, to provide a social safety net for all. Our country right now is extraordinarily divided on every single issue, no matter what it is. You know, I like vanilla, you like chocolate. I like red, you like green. And we can't like each other because I like red and you like green, or you like green, I like red. It's how do we bring people together, and how can folks that are listening to our show first know that they can make an impact, feel that they can make an impact that is of value, and then take those first steps, whether they're little tiny baby steps to help or mm-hmm. something large that they can do? What can they do to even help with all of this?
Every little bit helps. It does make a difference. Even on a community level where you're serving meals on a holiday or on weekends, buying supplies or picking up supplies and transitioning them from a location to the homeless, working with another nonprofit to distribute goods as needed, like tents, blankets, tarps. Just that individual attention and be educated about what's going on. And you know, the government and our division that's going on right now, we can't fix that with a snap of the fingers. We can't fix the homelessness issues with a snap of the fingers. But what we can do is on a personal level, donate, whether it be food, money, time, understand what the statistics are and what's really occurring in your own area, and reach out and ask, what can I help? What can I do? Even at the city level, there's many agencies that you can talk to, county and city, that will gladly take your experience and time to help out. And I challenge those who have a healthcare background like myself, nurses, doctors, technicians, ex-hospital administrators. There's so many people that have a depth of caring, love, and background that can help. I challenge them to reach out in their community and to do that on a very active basis. It's time to suit up and show up.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. It sure is. Time is now. You say you know people's intimate stories. Maybe you could share a story, maybe even your story of a senior homeless woman with cancer, and maybe some similar stories as well.
Yes, just briefly, a homeless woman who had another significant health issue, MS, and was in and out of sobriety, in and out of living on the streets, had some support through the government for a while, and then developed cancer. And she did everything she could. She had some advocates to help her with insurance, with getting the right professionals, medical professionals to assist her. But when it came right down to it, the cancer medicine that she needed was so expensive, she couldn't afford it. She gave up. She absolutely gave up and died.
Mm. Yeah. Yep. So any other stories that you have that you can share?
Well, just initially when I shared about the gentleman that was on the ground, not moving, not responding, and people walking by, that is the most disturbing part to me. Granted, I know some people on the streets, they have mental illness issues. They have PTSD from serving in Vietnam, from other wars. Don't just walk by. Say hello. Say hello. And if somebody's acting out and you're afraid, you know, back off, but you can call 911 to provide some sort of service for that individual.
You know, you had mentioned the 1980s, and that was a time when a lot of places were closed and people were just literally dumped on the streets with nowhere to go and no family to go to and no support. And we are still feeling the effects of that, right?
Yes, yes, we are. But thank God for EMTALA. It's a law requiring that if you present yourself to the emergency room at a hospital setting, they must treat you. They must put you through triage to see what the issues are before they start asking you, how are you going to pay for this? So anybody can go into an emergency room and get the health care that they need. And that has improved a lot in the last years. So I am hopeful that starting with baby steps, so to speak, that we can start to make a difference on an infrastructure on a broad basis in our home environments and the home communities.
What is a typical day like for you? Yeah.
Well, when I was working full time, it was very long.
Right. Yeah.
I do some part-time work for Whitebird, as I mentioned, and I don't work that many hours, but I will attend meetings in an advisory capacity, working with the excellent team that they have. And it's just a sharing of ideas, a sharing of experience, a way to help them improve. It's usually through Zoom. Often I'm on site, but usually through Zoom. And I'm just glad that I can provide the expertise. But starting the end of this year, I'll be volunteering 100%.
That's terrific. That's really, again, and it's what is it? How do you feel? What does it do for you? What are some of the experiences, the richness of the work that you're doing, that you're experiencing as a result of doing it?
I think just meeting another human being that has the same fears, same pain, same needs as any other human being. I mean, we're all in this together. We've all got pretty much the same anatomy. And I don't believe any person because of color, because of sexual orientation, because of being different should be excluded. And seeing that I can talk to some people and even point them in a direction where they can get some help is very fulfilling. I mean, that in my program of recovery, that's the bottom line, is to be of service, is to, suit up, show up, and give back what has been so richly given to me. And I'm grateful for that every day.
Yes, absolutely. And we all should be, right? We all should be. If you have a roof over your head, you have food on the table, you've been blessed with being able to wake up in your bed and look at your ceiling, and you're vertical, you are ahead of the game, and it's what you do with it that makes the biggest difference in our world. I want folks to know that if they want to make connection with Terry, you can go to this website, tkmservices.com. That's tkmservices.com. Terry, this was really a pleasure, and I applaud you so much for everything you've done, even working in the healthcare industry, and then, of course, taking that and using that to the best of your ability to inspire others and try to make a difference person by person as you do. And I hope we get a chance maybe to expand some more, maybe hear testimonials, things of that nature. But this was a real pleasure, and I hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I have with you, Terry.
Thank you, Jim. I have. This is great. I really appreciate it.
The pleasure is all mine. We appreciate you. And come see us again here on Close Up Radio Live, exclusively with us, Terry Modi of TK Modi Consulting, here on Close Up Radio Live. This is Jim Masters thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, stay tuned. I'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another great guest on Close Up Radio Live. Till then, have a great day. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.